Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
Now, we all know that Irish weather doesn't always cooperate with our best laid gardening plan. So if in doubt, control the environment. And the answer to those frustrations could be a greenhouse. They come in all shapes and sizes. There's different kinds for different budgets. And you can certainly find something to suit your needs, whether you have a big garden or a small balcony. And to tell us everything we need to know, I hope I'm joined in studio by author and, and DIY expert Catherine Carton and gardener Mary Staunton. Let's start with the basics, Catherine. You're a big greenhouse fan, so what's yours like?
So I have your typical suburban semi-detached garden with a rectangular patch of lawn. So I wanted a greenhouse, A, for growing, but I also think they look really pretty as well. So I didn't want a sun house because I do want to grow in it. And I also wanted to eat into that kind of rectangular patch of grass that I had. So I got a greenhouse so that it would be the kind of focal point. And it would also give me an extra room in the garden because, like you said, it doesn't always, the weather doesn't go to plan. But also my windowsills were filling up with seedlings every spring. So I needed somewhere to put them. So I invested in a greenhouse. So mine is just 8x8. It's not as big as Mary's. Sits on a 10x10 base. And then I just have some raised beds in front of it.
All right. And what's involved in putting in a greenhouse? I mean, is it a stick it up yourself pre-pack issue or is there a bit more involved?
There's definitely more involved. You can get your fabric little greenhouses that will blow away when Storm Bridget comes along. They'll blow onto the M50, those little fabric ones you see in the likes of Woody's. But if you want something proper, whether it's metal framed or wood framed, they're generally a two-person job to assemble, and you have to consider your foundations. So are you going to have a concrete base? Are you going to have gravel? Is it going to be something lighter that can sit on a softer ground? So you have to take all of those things into consideration. You can do DIY things as well, but it's definitely a two-person job, assembling as well. You may have to get someone in to assemble as well.
All right, so is it worth the investment, Mary?
It is. You know, if you want to, first of all, you can use it in two ways. You can do what Catherine said. You can have it as a little place to go and hide when, you know, everybody's looking for you to do
some work.
Yeah, a she shed. Yeah, good idea. It can double up as a place where you're growing tomatoes, you can grow grapes, cucumbers, all that sort of thing. So, you know, in one of my glass houses, I have two glass houses, but both we put up ourselves. We killed ourselves putting them up.
You have a brick bottom, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Brick with the metal.
Both of them, yeah.
So,
and we did all the work ourselves. So they look really nice, but they have to be functional as well. Mm. And you do get the odd pane of glass breaking and that has to be fixed. You could do something quick like a cold frame if that's you
or
know.
Or a polytunnel is easy to make.
Polytunnels are brilliant. Polytunnels we had for years, and you can add an extra hoop and bring it along, you know, make it bigger or smaller depending on your garden.
Right. And in terms of you mentioned there a variety of vegetables, grapes, cucumbers, fruits and vegetables you can grow. How do you rotate them throughout the year? I mean, if you want produce all year round, is that possible?
It is, absolutely. So at the moment I have tomatoes, I have cucumbers, grapes, strawberries, that sort of thing. So at the end of the season, out will come the tomatoes and in will go the spuds for Christmas. So that's how kind of I work it.
Oh,
and then
Christmas
I could eat,
spuds,
yeah, lovely, really nice. And then you can grow things like lettuce all year round because in the cooler kind of months, lettuce will, you know, any salad leaves would be great. I have Vietnamese coriander there all the time. So there's a couple of things that I would have on an ongoing basis in it. But yes, hugely productive. And also a little bit time consuming if you are going to grow tomatoes and stuff like that. They have to be looked after and they have to be watered. Not by my son has just finished TY and he's got a job this year of watering. So some things are watered and the things he doesn't like are not watered. So I'm losing quite a few plants.
And tomatoes are very sensitive. One minute they're alive, you forget to water them and they dramatically just die within a few hours and then you have to water them again.
Right, so they're not a beginner's plant, are they?
I don't like growing tomatoes for that reason.
Okay, give us the beginners, give us the entry level, the gateway vegetables
Lettuce. Strawberries are easy. Strawberries
are easy.
All they require is a nice bit of sunshine. If it was me and I had like 50 quid, I would invest in a little drip watering system. You plug it in, you put it onto a timer, and it delivers the water to the roots of the plants. And you can be sitting outside sunning yourself. Well, not today, because it's just after lashing rain outside.
And that's another thing to consider with your greenhouse is, do you want to have some sort of electricity and watering system in it? So you can add gutters to your... you can add gutters to a shed and... hook it up to a water butt and harvest the rainwater. Mine's not, I have a small garden, so I can get in with the hose. But if you do have something bigger like yours, and then you don't need electricity, but I do have it in mine and it comes in handy, especially if you want to do like grow mats in springtime. I had an awful spring trying to germinate things.
Yeah, it was hard.
It was hard going, but you can get like germination mats or heat mats and stuff just to
help.
Fancy there.
It's
the electricity bill of a true roof.
Let's go to a few listener questions here. Gardening question. My lupins have shorter flowers each year now and go to seed after a week or so. What can I do? This is a non-greenhouse question. It's a gardening question. Yeah. We throw it to you anyway. Go on. Absolutely.
It depends on the year. Lupins got a bad rap there for a while because they used to get infested with aphids. So they were kind of off the want list for a while. But now they're back in vogue. Feeding. If something is flowering that well, or should be flowering that well, like peony roses, like lupins, roses, all those sort of things, you need to feed them. They need to get a good general manure or something like that in the spring so that they will deliver those flowers. So for those ones, you need to really baby and give them a load of food and a good bit of water.
I noticed last year, I don't know if it was the rain in summer, I had wonky lupins. Did you ever see them where the flower stem goes wonky?
I know.
Is that a good or a bad thing? Because they're normally straight up.
Catherine's got it.
Mine made a virtue of it, though. Wonky lupins.
Yeah, exactly. You'd rather them to not be wonky.
Yeah, when you're putting them in a vase, turn them around.
If anybody there out there who wants wonky lupins, you know where you can get them. Somebody else asking, I've planted spinach, beet and other types of spinach for about 4 years in a raised bed. Unfortunately, they develop a type of wilt. Yeah. That word is my attempt to describe where a portion of the leaves goes brown and dead. It also happened to the beetroot. Any idea? Is it something in the soil? Asks Brendan.
It could be, and it could be just that the water isn't, you know, not getting enough water to the roots. So that's a particular problem with crops. You think you've watered well, and it's only gone down 2 inches. What you want is to water really well, so the roots go down further. So they're kind of in a they've general water available to them down further. Tiddling around at the top and putting a bit of water on the top of the soil is not going to do it.
So those really kind of plastic-looking tubes that you stick down?
When trees are newly planted, they'll do that sort of thing. They put a tube down, so you put down the hose into that tube and let the water go in right down into the root system. So it could be just something as simple as it's too warm and that the roots did not get enough water.
And again, I think feed the soil, because if you've grown the same thing in that raised bed every year, you may need to add nutrients. Okay. So like you said, a good farmyard manure mulch in spring, or grow something different in that bed next year and condition the soil.
Okay, watering tomatoes was mentioned there. Yeah. How long should you water tomatoes for drip irrigation, brackets, and how many days per week?
Every day. Absolutely, every day for tomatoes. When you think about the wind, we're getting an awful lot of wind
it's very windy
at the moment.
Today.
Yeah, so... And there's quite high light levels. I brought in the orchid there to illustrate for two reasons. One,
a lot of people are growing. If anybody wants to tune into the RTE News channel, you can see a purple orchid. It's bright. We've got windows here in the studio. Yeah. So it's a kind of an informal greenhouse here in the studio.
Which we brought it to you, you see.
So this is an orchid. Yeah,
I just wanted to talk about the light levels. So in a house, your light levels just inside your window can be like 1,000. Outside, we're talking 25,000 lux. So the difference in light levels is massive. So in a glass house, the light levels are perfect for growing tomatoes and that sort of thing. But with that light comes things drying out much faster. So every day, water, anything that's in a glass house, absolutely. And you know that old saying, water in the morning, don't be watering at 12 o'clock midday because you're burning the leaves. Listen, if they're drooping, you have to water them. So any time is a good time to water. If you want to see fantastic examples of glass houses, you only have to go into the Botanic Gardens and look
Malahide
at the Turner,
as well, actually.
Turner glass houses, Irishman, and those glass houses are famous all over the world. The Palm House, the Curvilinear range. Even if you don't have an interest in growing anything, go in and have a look at the architecture. Just incredible, you know, just to see what it's like, you know.
Dream glasses.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Do you need to heat your greenhouse in winter, asks Jean.
So I actually don't. So what I put in my greenhouse in winter is I overwinter dahlia tubers. So they don't like getting too wet and frosty. And pelargoniums and anything that's a bit frost, you like, doesn't like the frost, I'll put them in the greenhouse. And I don't, just because to save on electricity, but I don't have that in too far. Like, I don't be going out with all those fern trees that you need to be putting blankets and everything on them in winter. I am a hardy perennial gardener, so only the strongest survive.
Okay.
Put a little tea light.
I've seen a trick where it's a terracotta pot. You raise a tea light up and you stick a terracotta pot on top.
Just keeps the temperature up a bit.
And it helps the temperature. But I found our winter this year was mild temperature-wise. The only once I think I went in and there was a bit of frost.
Yeah.
Right. Do you need to use as many pesticides in a greenhouse?
You do get bugs in it, yeah.
Yeah, because somebody's just asking here, is it easier to keep slugs at bay in a greenhouse?
Oh, the slugs, they're much easier to keep out, but you will still get aphids and you will get a lot of spiders as well. So something people don't think is that if they're getting their greenhouse versus a sun house, you are going to get more of your spiders in your greenhouse because you have all of your plants.
Do you have to kind of, you know, like almost the bottom of the door, like a draft excluding type thing? So slugs are pretty versatile.
Oh, they are. They get in there. They get in there. Anyhow, but I mean, you can put in some beer traps, that sort of thing, for aphids. Companion planting, instead of lashing a load of pesticide at things like that. Companion planting, I always put in a thing called Basil Pluto or Thai basil or maybe little onions, that sort of thing. So they don't
They don't like them, do they?
They don't like them.
Okay, all right. You mentioned feeding them. What should you feed them if you don't have access to manure, asks Aisling.
Oh, tomato food. It's great.
Or like
food is great.
Any liquid feed. I've seen people as well making, is it comfrey tea?
Yeah, perfect.
If they look up online, you can grow comfrey, isn't it?
Comfrey,
and then
yeah.
you put it.
Yeah, it's like you put it into a bucket. Now, the smell of it isn't great.
It's awful.
You add water and then you're taking off a quantity of that, adding more water to it, and that's what you're putting in as a feed for your tomatoes. But again, you're putting it into right at the root system of these plants.
All right.
But if she just wants to go to a garden centre, she'll pick up a liquid tomato feed handy enough for any other feed.
Can I grow herbs in my greenhouse in winter without a heating system?
Yes, you can. You can grow. I have Vietnamese coriander. You can put in any sort of herb, really, to be honest with you. Especially thyme and parsley, all of that sort of thing.
The only thing I find in winter is your growth slows down as the light levels change. So it's not going to grow as fast. Even though it's warm in the greenhouse, with the light levels changing, you won't grow as quick as summertime and springtime.
What about the opposite problem, where if we have a heat wave and your greenhouse is amplifying the heat? How do you could you leave doors open? How do you cool it down?
You can leave doors open, but the new ones, and I don't know if you have this in your one, the new ones it's like the windows open because there's like a wax in these little cylinders.
Yeah.
And the wax melts, pushes the window open at the top, and then as it cools down in the evening,
it closes. So it's like a kind of automatic opening window. You can also, if you're feeling fancy and you have a big one, you can get little curtains or little sunshades that you can put in and pull down. That would help with, you know, the heat as well.
And damp it down. You can
spray
water on the
ground. Same way as you try and maybe keep your car cooler in hot weather.
Yeah, and also on the opposite to that, in winter, I saw, you asked about keeping it warm. I saw Monty Don putting bubble wrap on the inside of the glass because
it's very cold where he is.
Yeah, I don't think you'd need to do that in Dublin, but maybe if you're out the west and you're struggling.
Leitrim or somewhere.
Bubble wrap on the inside of the glass insulates it.
Okay, there's a load of fascinating tips. Thanks very much
for
coming in. Author and DIY expert Catherine Carton and gardener Mary Staunton. Thanks a million for joining us.